If you were to ask any youngster in the little town of Waterton, California, on a Friday night in 1956, where's the greatest and most desirable place to be? Then the Still Ridge Viewing Point on Haverth Ave is your closest and most probable solution. This 100-foot cliffside, often known as the Young Lover's Escape, is a popular hangout spot for Waterton High's older students looking for some fun and romance. With the school year drawing to a conclusion and their futures looking very promising, most of those senior class members drove out to Still Ridge, either in their parents' car or in the custom hot rods that were popular at the time. As the vehicles arrive, they park at the edge of the overlook like conquering heroes, standing 100 feet above the roaring waves below. The setting sun, with its rays of light flowing through the salt water washing carpets, glistens and reflects the previous day's burn, restoring the fresh night air. The most that can be observed is the faraway sound of the undulating coastline and the muttered strains of vehicle radios as the gulls return to their nests. Robert Rodriguez and his girlfriend, Linda Thompson, are among the young rallygoers, arriving in a black and blue 1955 Ford Escort. Robert turns on the radio while the pair sits and stares at the fading magnificence of the ocean. With each turn of the knob, a brief burst of static sound fades in and out until Robert locates the station he seeks. They arrive just in time to hear the announcer they've all heard before.
"See, Linda? I promised you we'd get the transmission out here," says Robert.
"Well, that's great. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to hear it. There's never been a show that we didn't catch,"
Linda says as the host of the radio show gets things started.
"Damn, I really like this track,"
Robert exclaims, his hands hammering on the steering wheel. Linda smiles as she settles into the seat and rests her head on Robert's shoulder, smoothing up her long white skirt.
"Why don't we go see it live someday, Robert?"
Linda inquires. Robert lowers his drumming to a gentle tapping and wraps his arm around Linda.
"I'm not a big fan of all that dancing. Besides, I'm working on something else."
Robert says this while staring Linda in the eyes. As the song comes to a close, the two have a deep, passionate kiss.
"I love every moment we spend together,"
Linda adds with a smile. Robert replies with his own smile and continues to take in the feeling from Linda's lips. The world around them melts into a blur, and all that matters is the inside of the car and the pleasant sounds of the radio, as the two seem to disappear into numbing infinity. As the show goes to the era's best music, songs come and go. As the sun sets completely, the rest of the songs fade away, and all that matters is their passion and affection for this one night only. Robert and Linda don't break away from each other until later when the host speaks up again. The strumming, repeating rhythms from the piano and bass establish the tone and optimum atmosphere as soon as the new song begins. Then, with subtle vocalization, the heavenly male voices join in. They repeat this process until the main singer appears. Robert's heart echoes with his words as every feeling he's ever experienced for Linda erupts in this one instant. Robert takes Linda's hand in his, and the two of them clutch each other as though trapped in a violent storm. Linda and Robert are enthralled by the song and singing on the radio, which excites them like nothing else. Robert inhales Linda's perfume and, completely enthralled by her presence, draws her closer. Robert takes a minute to open one eye just a bit, enough for the lashes to cause the pictures of sight to distort and shimmer as the two continue their passion. Robert saw something out of place, even in the mixing of colors and shape, so he opened his eyes wider and looked out the right rear window of his car. A black form came outside, positioned barely yards away. It floated barely inches above the ground, expanding and contracting in size, as though the night was condensing into one form. This darkness, though, was pitch black, with no depth of color or shade to give it character. It's blacker than the darkest black. It was so dark that the nighttime world around it appeared faded, sick and diminished, as if the bulk were a dark focal point on a painted painting. Robert drew away from Linda and wiped his eyes, thinking his eyes weren't interpreting the lights from the car and the moonlight correctly. He rubbed his eyes and squinted, mumbling,
"I think there's something in my eye."
"Do you want to open the window?"
Linda remarks as she adjusts the hand crank on her front entrance window. Robert grabs her shoulder and yanks her backward, making her appear terrified.
"Wait, wait, wait. Just wait,"
he screams.
"What the heck is wrong, Robert?"
Linda responds. Robert, on the other hand, totally ignores her and returns his gaze to the back window. Curious and dubious of his sanity, he moved his head like a bobbing bird. The form looked to be floating in midair. But it wasn't floating at all. It was just there, existing independently of its surroundings. Outside, the wind blew gently, and you could see it rustling the palms like flags. But this thing just stood there motionless, as if the world had drifted away from it. The Earth's axis might shift, and that thing might still stay in place, as if it were hooked on the lens of your eye. And no matter how much you shifted, left, right, up, down, your sight would not change. Linda stared at Robert intensely for a long time while the radio continued to play. It gradually changed its shape, going from a circular shape to a sharp, cracking V. Robert was taken aback by its existence, and his stomach fell as he gazed deep into its murky absence, which appeared to go on forever. As terror turned to numbing deafness, his mind raced and his heart pounded. He couldn't feel the air around him or hear music on the radio. Linda's hand was clutching his face and shrieking hysterically, and he was completely unaware of it.
"Robert, please! This is no longer funny!"
Linda eventually forced herself to glance in Robert's direction and see what piqued his interest, but the radio continued to play.
"What is that?"
Linda remarked. A black mist emitted from its edges, diffusing outward like reverse currents. However, the air and everything in its immediate vicinity, both behind and in front of it, seemed to arc in response to its presence. As it humps up and down, it appears as though everything around it is extending inward like a pump sucking in water. Then, from the margins of the blackness, emerged what appeared to be roots, although they moved slowly. Sharp, fringed roots moved through the air like rips, as if ripping the fabric of the air itself. These tentacles stretched outwards as if they were pulling the bulk forward by grasping the very fabric of the air. The melody continued to play as it reached and spread in spastic movements, getting closer and closer. The song in the car continued to play, and the form became larger and got closer as the singing with the saxophone solo began.
"Robert, we have to leave. This isn't right,"
Linda whispers as she tugs on Robert's sleeve. Robert's head bobs, and he appears to return to his senses.
"Can you tell me where I am? What are we doing here, Linda?"
Robert inquires. Linda simply nods her head and snatches Robert's keys with trepidation.
"We have to get out of here. There's something out there, behind the car,"
Linda responds. Robert merely smiles and adds,
"Linda, you have nothing to be scared of."
Robert turns his head to the front and stares coldly at the shore, saying,
"Everything is good. Let's just listen to the music."
Black, root-like tendrils stretch outward to the vehicle's glass. Linda lets out a shrill scream and spastically leaps from her seat onto Robert. She was kicking and wriggling her way over him and out the other door. The black roots, on the other hand, creep in between the car's gaps and get closer and closer. One locates the doorknob and hooks itself around the latch, drawing the door open. As one of the roots grabs his arm, Robert laughs and adds,
"Nothing to worry."
Other roots emerge from the now-open entryway, entangling Robert in a web of black tendrils. Linda yells and reaches for the door, but she's pulled back by a yank on her ankle. Linda pushes her nails into the upholstery as she's pulled backwards, fighting whatever it is pulling on her. More roots entwine her, and their icy grip is cold and unfeeling. The music continued to play as though the icy air itself was holding her. Robert is pulled out of the automobile and held upside down in the air. Linda hears a sound as the fabric of the chairs begins to break as she struggles to pull herself away. Linda counts the stitches, tugging her up out of her seat as she's yanked from the car, arms flailing about aimlessly, punching at nothing. She yells and jerks her head around. All of the other cars are still parked, and their passengers are looking out the window towards the coast. They were completely oblivious to the shouts or the dark form outside their automobiles.
"Please help me! Please fucking help me, Robert!"
Linda yells angrily. She's wrangled tighter by the tendrils, which pull her higher like a captured fly entangled in a web. Linda directs her gaze on Robert, who's still and enthralled. Then two more tentacles emerge from the dark, voided mass, waving like ocean surges and as thick as tree trunks. They're dark and lack depth, just like their source. One seeps behind Robert, while the other seeps behind Linda. The blood filling Linda's head makes everything appear sluggish and stuck in sap as she stares down. In the frigid grip that binds her, she screams and writhes. The tendon ends come to a halt and turn skyward as if staring straight at Linda. The tentacle's head binds up into a huge mass that expands like a balloon. A sliver of gray peels open, revealing a gaping maw, and they howl a harmonic groan like a dying whale, the only object that resembles a shape and form in this dark mass. Linda saw an awful, black abyss for a throat within the mouth, with sappy mucus connecting to all sides of the throat and lines of gray molars extending outwardly in all directions.
They channeled the inner walls of the tendon like a field of rotten bone, and the stink drifted up to Linda, who vomited her insides, which the tendrils ate. Then a deep, bass tone erupted out of the tendril's mouth, as if the throat was clearing and spurting to clear the passageway. As the song's last lyric approached its inevitable conclusion, Linda recognizes her predicament after a little pause. Linda and Robert are torn apart like pieces of meat stuck in an old meat grinder. As the jaws close in around them, back and forth, shaking, Linda cries in pain as her bones are crushed by the mashing and gnawing. Blood oozes into her mouth, her cries turning into gurgles, and the radio's music continues to play. The voice resounds as a climactic conclusion to the tune, which also symbolizes the end of Robert Rodriguez and Linda Thompson's relationship. The black figure draws its tentacles within as the tune fades to nothing. It, too, goes away, and the rest of the Still Ridge onlookers return to their evening of passion and radio opera.